What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? Hey, this is Zach Edwards for another debt-free millionaire podcast and personal finance course. Today is not a bonus Friday. We actually have a lesson that we're going to be talking about, and it's something that you're going to love. It's investing. But I want to state something first, something that came as epiphany as I was writing my journal this morning. And it was funny. Yesterday, I felt completely out of sorts for some reason. I must have been really tired, which I'm still a little bit tired today, and it's all from the convention that I was just at. Still, I haven't caught up yet on my sleep. But there was a big thing that came to mind, and I thought I'd like to share that with you guys. One big thing is I feel sometimes like an imposter. There's something out there called imposter syndrome. It's where you don't actually feel like you belong in the place that you're at, such as if you get into a really good education, you get a good university, sometimes you don't believe that you should be there. Maybe if you get a good job, you feel like an imposter there. So this is what imposter syndrome is when you feel like you are less or not enough for what you have. And a lot of people are feeling that these days. It's something that goes around a lot for different people. But you should know this. You should know that you are enough. You wouldn't have gotten there unless you were worth it, that you were supposed to be there. Now, a lot of times we're not put in the place that we want to be. Like, I would love for my companies all to take off and have no problems or anything like that. That's not going to happen. Nearly no one is that going to happen to. That is luck, complete luck. That's not skill. That's complete luck. Skill is when you actually work at it over a long time, which sometimes it's less than other people. Sometimes it's longer than other people, but it's still you working. You working and showing that you're diligent in certain things means that you are no longer an imposter. You actually belong where you are. And I can say that because I've been this place so many times where I feel like I'm an imposter. So we have this really big grant that we're going after right now. And I've actually lost it 3 times. Basically, every time it got better and better, the results, the criteria, the responses from the judges. And so we were doing better, and then all of a sudden we lose another one. Well, this is the 4th time we're trying for this one, but this time I have now a great response from my mentor, who is actually in charge of these grants, and she basically said is that basically at this point where we've actually found ourselves, the improvements that we've made have gotten us to this place, and now we deserve that grant. Now, we're not entitled to that, but with all that hard work, if it seems to be a fit for the grant, then we deserve to be there because we put so much time and effort into it. So if you worked hard through school and you got good grades and you worked hard at it and you find yourself in a good community or a good college or university or even going straight into a job and you don't feel like you're supposed to be there, but you know that you worked hard, that is just your imposter syndrome working on you. Don't let it take control. So when you get to $1 million, and I do mean when you get to $1 million, because if you follow these steps, you will get to $1 million. Again, not guaranteed, because different things happen, especially with the economy and the way that you do certain things. But if you follow these, you have a high probability of becoming a millionaire. Not just becoming a millionaire, but becoming debt-free. And so when you get there, you are not an imposter for getting there. You get there because you are working hard. For all those people that have not made it, some of them may not have worked as hard as you. Some may have worked more than you. There is a little bit of chance in those things, and also other reasons for you to get that grant or that $1 million or whatever it is. There is a reason for you to be there. So you need to know that if you get these things, unless you're being unethical or dishonest. If you're doing that, then you are an imposter. You're completely an imposter. But those that are working hard to get there, you are not an imposter. You deserve to be where you're at because you have worked hard. Even if you have good skills talking, you still have to work hard. If you are lying or unethical or doing anything that's not what should be done, and I'll let you classify what that is, then yes, you are an imposter and you don't belong there. But I'm guessing that if you're listening to this podcast, you are not that type of person. And so I can actually say that you are not an imposter, but you are worth it and you deserve to be there. So with that being said, let's go into investments, right? That's what we want to talk about right now. But this is another place where you could actually feel like an imposter because you do really well at investing. So we're going to walk through some of these things and you'll be able to pick certain investments that you want to do and see where they go. Now, with all investments, there is risk. Every single investment out there, there is no for sure thing. If anyone says that they're for sure thing, they're lying to you. They're not ethically above board. And they might actually be completely honest with themselves. They might actually completely believe it, but there is no guarantee. Anything from government regulation happening and all of a sudden shutting down something and all of a sudden your investment goes away, doesn't matter. Those are out of your control. That's why nothing, no investment is a for sure thing. Not all investments are going to give you an ROI. An ROI is return on investment. So not all investments would actually make you money. So you have to stay vigilant in what you're doing and work hard. So let me bring you up to the speed. Here we go. That's what I was looking for, that picture. Okay, so this is just basically what you see in the stock market. This little graph here, and if you're not viewing it, you're not missing much. This is basically a graph just showing where a stock could go. It jumps up and down until it gets higher. Hopefully, if it gets lower, you need to get out, but you don't want to jump out right away. And you'll learn this as you go. So in all investments, invest just a small amount. Try it out. Don't ever jump in with everything you have. Like, there's a lot of people that said, you know what, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is skyrocketing. I'm going to get in. So we throw everything in. Problem is, all of a sudden, when it was at peak, it dropped, it tanked. All those people thought they lost their shirts. Now, every penny, as of like early last week, everyone that had ever invested in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency made money. Every single one of them, because we hit a peak. We've all of a sudden come back down to a valley. Like this graph, this was where crypto was last week, and here it is right now. It's not as low as it was, but it's definitely lower than it was two weeks ago. And it'll probably go down again, and then it will come up again. That is what happens with all stocks, with most commodities, everything. Now, there are some things that are guaranteed, but we're going to go into it because even the guarantees are still low risk. They are considered low risk because, again, there are no guarantees. And people that say that they're guaranteed are lying. And I'll go through each of these ones as we go through. So let's start off with the easiest one. If you want to buy a single stock, say you want to go buy Apple or Google or Verizon. Now, all of these have basically settled where they're at. So they're going to be low, medium risk because they're still going to go up and they're going to go down, but not huge swings like some investments, which we're going to go over as well. That's why they're considered medium risks. There will be ups and there will be downs. If you invested in something like Disney, I could bring that one up. Disney tanked over the last few years. Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to bring that up while we're talking. I'm not giving any advice when it comes to investing, but I'll show you exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to people might think this is the greatest stock in the world, and like a very strong company, but nothing is a very strong company. So let me show you this. Okay, I'm going to pull this over to this window. Actually, no, I'm going to shrink it. We don't have to see the whole thing. Here we go. So over the last, if I look at this for the last day, I'm going to say, oh, okay. So for today, just today, it's gone up. Great. What did it do over the last few days? Oh, it's lower than it was 4 days ago. Okay, 4 days it hit a peak at 116. It also hit a low of near $111. Okay, so that's good to know. But look, a month ago, Disney has been tanking. tanking. And there's reasons for it. I'll tell you a little bit. But look at that. It's actually been growing for the last 6 months. Oh, that's awesome. Yes. So it's a great time to get in. Okay. So it hit its low probably around October 4th, 2023. And now it's going up ever since. And now it's going down. Okay. Look at the 5-year. What happened to Disney? This is why single stocks of well-established companies, Facebook, Apple, Ford, all these that are on the stock exchange, the Dow Jones or the S&P. So those are two different stock exchanges. The NASDAQ. NASDAQ and the Dow Jones. So this is what happens to them. So it was doing fairly well in 2019. And then it tanked. Where? Oh, look at that. Right around the time of COVID. When they're just figuring out COVID, it tanked for a bit. But with COVID, everyone being home, look at this. It was skyrocketing. It was taking off. Till March 12, 2021. What happened there? This is when they started getting into DEI and homosexuality and trans ideology. Now, doesn't matter what your beliefs are on this. This is pure fact. Ever since then, and them talking about a queer agenda in Disney and such like that, who are the audience for Disney? Parents, right? Children. Actually, that's basically it. Parents and children. Now, they do own other brands such as like ABC and a lot of big brands that are other places, which are more adult. But Disney itself was over one big thing. That was children. And parents were the ones over the children paying for what the kids see. What happens is all of a sudden the parents think that there's something nefarious behind it. That there's an agenda behind something. Doesn't matter what it is. If there's an agenda behind it, what happens if parents are your customers? This is exactly what happens. And they tanked and they tanked and they continue to tank. October 27, 2023 looks like the lowest bit of Disney. But we've seen this before. It tanked and then it came back up and then it tanked again. And it went back up and it tanked again. So Disney just decided to go to the shareholders. This is about a month ago. And say, you know what? You might be trying to stop us from pushing our agenda, but we're not going your direction. We're not going to redo the board. We're going to go the exact same way that we have gone. Again, this was about a month ago. Somewhere around here. March 28, 2024. And they said, you know what? You might be the stockholders, the people that own the company. Disney doesn't own the company. The stockholders own the company. And the stockholders, there's a large portion of them that said, we want to turn this thing around. We want to make Disney more money, and we want to get them out of politics. And the hedge funds and those with the bigger money in Disney said, no, you're not. And so did Disney. And so what happened after that? Because there was a huge talk right now. There's this huge talk that there was going to be an overthrow in the government of Disney, in who was running Disney. And it tanked. The same thing happened. Here's another one. Let's check out another one. Coca-Cola. No. Yes. No, was it? Wasn't Coca-Cola. Sorry. Totally bit different. It was Budweiser. Budweiser stock. Okay. Oh, no one's going to show me the stock. Okay. We'll actually go into one of the websites. And this is fairly... MarketWatch is a great... is a great website to be able to see this. Okay. So this is just one day. Great. Yeah. Perfect. 5 days ago. Okay, so it's been going up and down since for the last 5 days. What about a month ago? Okay, stayed pretty steady. This is actually very similar to Disney. 3 months ago? Ooh, it's still going down. 6 months ago. Hey, they had a low here, and they're still going back down. Okay. What happened about a year ago? Okay. So I'm going to go just zoom out just a little bit more so I can give you more of a picture of this. Where is it? 3 years. There we go. That will help. Okay. So this is 2021. Remember what happened to Disney? Disney came out with their, they call it woke agenda, and they started tanking. Budweiser signed up a transgender person who was transitioning into a woman, as they call it. And so they used them as a spokesperson. What happened? It tanked. Now it did come back a little bit, but it continued to tank. And they've tried everything they can to get their price back up. So they started going up again. And this is about the time where they said, hey, you know what? We need to start reaching out to those that we hurt, those that were our consumers that didn't like the things that we were doing, and start trying to fix that. And so it increased about this place. But then they did something that wasn't very good. I won't go into it. Then it continued to tank. So around November of last year, I think it was about that. Actually, it was probably a little bit later, but they actually, maybe it was the same. UFC started working with them. Donald Trump even, I think, yeah, Donald Trump even came out and said some things that positive. A guy by the name of Kid Rock, who was actually one of the most advocates against them and what they were doing, came out in support of them. Interesting enough, come to find out, minus Donald Trump, all these other ones were bought and paid for. They came out and said, hey, you need to come support them. And so it increased. And then the word got out and it started slowing down. So Budweiser was the cream of the crop when it came to light beers. People drink them all the time, light beers and all types of beers. And it's not Budweiser, it's Anheuser-Busch. But they continued to do things that were questionable to their consumers. Why? Because of some of their policies. And because they did that, the price tanked. What I'm trying to say is, when you're looking at any of these companies, look at what they're doing. You can't just say, oh, this is a strong company, I'll put my money in there. No, you have to actually see what they're doing. What they're doing in the business, if they have any kind of agenda that might be affecting their consumers, because their stock holders might think this is the greatest thing for them to do, this new policy. But they don't matter. The truth is, they don't matter when it comes to your stocks. Their stock will tank. People will jump ship if all of a sudden they start changing their agenda, and then the consumer will be hurt. If the consumer is hurt, that's when they stop buying. And if they stop buying, Budweiser loses money, or Target lost a ton of money, or Disney lost a huge amount of money. All of them have tanked when they made certain agenda changes and policy changes inside their company. So yeah, that becomes hard, but you have no real say unless you are a hedge fund and own a huge amount of money of this. Okay, so closing this down. So what's a better way of doing stocks and having a better way of doing this that you might know that it's more a little more steady? Now, this is actually higher risk, but you actually have some say in this. The single stocks, the large companies, you have no say whatsoever. But privately traded businesses, business ownership, that is, it's high risk because you don't know if they're going to succeed or if they're going to fail. So it's high risk, but it also gives you a high ROI, return on investment. Something like Ford or Apple or Facebook give you a medium risk, medium ROI. Something like Disney gives you a medium risk, negative ROI because of certain things that they did. Private traded business ownership, if you can buy and have a portion of that company, you have to find the right company and have them actually agree to it, they can 20x your money. While a big stock will give you probably 10% per year, a private company can actually give you a 20 times stock. That's a 2,000 increase on your money. Again, Apple, Ford, Facebook, those kind of companies, Google, they'll give you about a 10% per year. This one will give you about a 20,000 times return. But that might be stretched out over a longer period of time because it depends on how long it takes them to get to that place. But a lot of these smaller companies are looking for private partners or silent owners of their company because they need to raise more capital to start it. Same thing goes with like Historical Conquest or Zogos Gaming or even Debt-Free Millionaire. We might go after small amounts of partnerships. We haven't. We don't. Our partners are actually part of the company. Okay, there is one person, but that was family. So I did actually do a family investment, not a loan. It was an investment. And funny enough, I'm actually trying to pay them off to get back ownership of their portion. But there's no animosity or control or whatsoever. They're actually the biggest supporters of what I am doing, which is why I allowed them to do this. Corporate bonds are another way of getting through this. So we went through this one's the stock. This one's like a private business that you can buy into. Golf, it's great. It might be a new store that has some sort of twist to it. And you can get in for a fair amount of money and get a good high ROI if the new golf course takes off. What's this one about? Okay, so if you're not looking at the video, you'll see someone swimming in a pool. Looks like a community pool, probably. So there are different types of bonds. Bonds are usually for big projects that an organization wants to do, and so they take out these loans. I call them a loan because they're borrowing from you, and they promise you low risk because they quote unquote guarantee it. Low risk, low ROI. This is just telling you that, hey, if you put your money into this corporate bond for this project, any kind of returns will give you a certain amount of return on investment. And we guarantee that we're going to pay you on this. Okay, great. But they're only guaranteeing something like a 5, 6, or 7% return. Okay, so if I go to the bank, right now, the high interest savings account will give me about 5%. A CD will give me about 6%. So 7% is great for a corporate bond because I get, if this is a company that's well established, it's a low risk. It's low return. It's 7%, but it's still a return. So I'll put my money in there. That's hoping that the company stays solid. If the company goes under, maybe because they can't pay for this community center, this, sorry, not community center, this project that they want to do, they might go under and then all of your money is gone. So low risk because the company basically has to go under for them not to pay you. But it's a lot better than a stock, which goes up and down, up and down. This one is a guaranteed increase for the life of the bond as long as they don't go under. Now, the next one is a municipal bond. A municipal bond is basically a bond that has to do with municipals, cities, counties, those kind of things. This picture that I was talking about, the swimming pool, is like a community center. If they want to put a bond together to pay you a low ROI, say like 7%, but it's also low risk because they're not going to go under. A city is not going to go under. Somebody's going to bail them out. Even if a city does go under, they still have to pay you back for this. Now, there are readjustments that happen. So, again, don't take financial advice from me. I'm just telling you what it is. A federal government bond. Now, you know that the government is not going to go under. So it's a very low risk. This is probably one of your lowest risks that you can have. But it also has a very low ROI. This would have like the 5 or 6%, which your bank could give you or your CDs could give you. And I'll go over what a CD is. So, okay, let's get out of the low risk. Let's go to something that shows us more return. How about back in the stock markets? Okay, so higher return. Now, say you worry about just putting it into one company because, like Disney, they might tank. So this is when you put into a mutual fund, which is a pool of different stocks. So this is not just one. This is like 100 different companies that they're invested in. And they watch these like hawks. They want to see the ones that are going up and the ones that they're going down. If they go down too much, they will cut them. These are mutual funds, hedge funds, those kind of funds. They're medium risk because these can actually drop because it depends on the stock, but it can also give you a higher ROI. Again, these might give you a 10 to 12% return on investment, not guaranteed. But over the long run, a mutual fund can give you a lot better returns. How about a ETF? An ETF is basically a group of commodities, other investments. It does not have to be stocks. It could be stocks, and it could be commodities like gold or oil or livestock. We'll go over those in just a minute. Now, that's great. I could buy something that has a ton of different investments based in it because I don't want to buy a cow and I don't want to buy a barrel of oil. So I go into an ETF that covers a larger range of different stocks. Now, there are ETFs that have to do with certain commodities. So there is a Bitcoin ETF. And again, that was just focusing on Bitcoin, but it has a great ROI. And you don't have to risk being in a buying your own Bitcoin and having to manage it. Somebody else will manage it. The other problem, though, is you don't own this. The ETF owns it. And there's actually laws that are in place where the ETF, if they go under, they can sell your stocks in order to, and the same thing with mutual funds. There are some that allow this because of government intrusion into our private ownership of these things. But they've actually said that you can pay off your debts before you pay off your investors. That's a little disconcerting. And that just happened last year. Okay, what about CDs? Okay, you go to a bank and you say, okay, I want a return, some return. I don't want this to be guaranteed. Again, unless the bank goes under, you're gonna get, it's just like a bond. You're gonna get money back. A CD is a certificate of deposit. So this is your deposit. You're depositing $600 into a CD. They respond with, we're going to give you a 5% increase over 18 months or over 12 months. That's great. Okay, yeah, I like that. Yeah, make sure that it is 12% or sorry, 7% or 5%, whatever it is, per year. So if you have an 18-month bond or 18-month CD, that they will pay you every year 5 or 7%, not over the 18 months, because you might as well put it into a 12 month because you're getting better returns. Most of them don't do that. Just giving you advice. Okay, what's the next one? How about a retirement fund? Yeah, if you can get your company to match your 401k, oh, take advantage of it. Every single penny that they're willing to match, match it. Because that's free money that's coming to you tax-free because it's being put into your retirement through a 401k. You'll have to pay the increase afterwards when you pull it out, but you don't have to pay for more money to get in there. And the more money that's in there, the higher it's going to increase faster. So any kind of match that the company is doing, take it. There's also 403Bs, which is another type of government retirement plan. There's Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. These are ones that you do. But retirement, investing in retirement, that's like a lockbox. Put your money in a retirement plan. You can't touch it until you're older, unless you have distressing reasons, and then they'll take capital gains off you. But put it there as a guaranteed amount of money that you'll have in your investments and leave it alone. Gone. Thank you. Goodbye. Be done with it. And just let it grow. Because at retirement, if something happens and all your investments go away, you still have that one as available, especially if your company is matching your funds. There are also options, which options are basically an option for you to buy a stock at a higher price than it already is. But if the stock goes up, say it's a year option, if it goes up above that point, then you buy it and you're buying it at that price. That's a great way of doing it because you're buying the option to buy a year out. And if you can see the stock's going up, you're buying it at that point, at that price. And so that's a great thing to do. But you're buying the option, you're not actually buying the stock. So you can put some money towards it. It's not actually buying the stock, like at the stock price. But you're saying, I will buy it at this price for this amount of money and hoping that it goes up. If it goes down, then you walk free and clear and you say, I'm not buying that. I spent my money in the option. I'm done. We're good. It's like a insurance policy on buying stocks. Annuities is like a basically an insurance policy. and we won't go into any of these other ones, but the one I wanted to go over is some of the investments we're going to talk to you about as we go in the next few months. This is everything from real estate, commodities, cryptocurrency, NFTs, those type of things. Investments that are easy for the common man. Now, stocks are easier now, but they're not mainstream. All these other ones are non-mainstream investments. So I will do this as a caveat. They have higher risk because they're not. Such as cryptocurrency. This has the highest risk involved. But if you look at this, and actually I'm going to bring this up. Okay, let's bring up same charts. But I'm going to go back. I'm going to show you what has happened to Bitcoin. Bitcoin price. Okay, this is over the last, 14 hours. Bitcoin is actually run off of a different date, so different time period to count the Bitcoin. Actually, I'm not even quite sure where they count this in Google. It says 12 a.m. to 2, but it is definitely not 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. right now. It is actually 9:15 in the morning. So let's go 5 months out. Okay, so it has dropped since April 24, 2024. So not that far back, but it dropped and it's starting to recover. What happened before that? 1 month later. Okay, so it stayed pretty steady since that time, but it's had a peak of about $71,000 per Bitcoin. This is per a single Bitcoin. And you can buy up to a millionth of a Bitcoin. So a penny is a hundredth of a dollar. Bitcoin, Sudoku, don't quote me on that. Sorry, I got my words mixed up on what they're actually called. But a millionth, it's like a penny for a Bitcoin, is at 1 millionth of a Bitcoin. And you can buy small amounts of Bitcoin. You want to put a dollar in, you can put a dollar in, but you're going to be paying about a dollar fee to buy it. So you want to buy like $20 or $50 or even $100. But see, at a month, yeah, this is about the peak time. What happened 6 months? You need to see this. Whoa, it really climbed from around 34,000 up to 71,000. It doubled in the last 6 months. That's right. Okay, it doubled in the last 6 months. What happened 1 year ago? At its lowest in the last year, it was at 25,000. It is now almost tripled in 1 year. That's Bitcoin. But you need to go a little bit further back. 5 years. Okay. So let's see. I bought somewhere around here. And there was like nothing. There's no return. We were throwing in play money. So I didn't throw much money in there. And I threw it all over the place in crypto. So I made I learned a lot of lessons in crypto. But I threw in a lot of different crypto. Major one was Bitcoin. And I threw in a little bit of money over here. And look at that. I did great until then it dropped. Oh man, it dropped dramatically. But then it peaked again. And it peaked. Trying to get it. There we go. 64,400. So anyone that bought in this time and then it tanked thought they lost their shirts. A lot of them sold because they were scared. The problem is, if anyone held onto their coin from this point to this point, made money. Sorry. This point. 72. Whatever. You saw it. 71,000. They all made money. Every single person that's ever put money into Bitcoin and kept it has made money. But they did have some volatile times. It got down to, there you go, $16,000. Now, if I had sold, oh, wait a minute. I did sell. Look at that. I sold actually that day, November 12th, 2021. I bought right before it tanked. Yes, because I'm so great at stocks. No. It's because I'm so great at commodities. No. It was because I needed the money and I saw that it was at a peak and I didn't want to take the risk that it was going to drop again, even to do another one of these. I said, well, I need a certain amount out of there. Again, we put in play money. It 10x'd. I had 10 times the amount that I put into it available to me. I took $1,000 out. I only needed 1,000. So I went down to 3,000 here, and then it tanked. And I went to a value of like about $1,000. I'll tell you the full amount. I put in $400. It went up to about $3,400. And then it tanked. At $3,400, actually, I think it was $4,200, and I sold it $1,000, and I had a good amount of money still left over, and then it tanked, and it went down to about, I think it was just around $1,000 left. Now, I put in $400. I pulled out $1,000. That means all my money times 2.5. I took 2.5 times the amount of money that I put into it out of it, and I was free and clear. Basically, everything else was just play money because I didn't put any of that money in. And it dropped down to $1,000. So I still had $1,000 on top of that. So what happened right here? Okay, I bought probably about $100 worth, $200 worth. I bought it here. I am now at about $4,300. I'm above where I was when I sold at this peak, when I sold it for $1,000 or sold out $1,000 above it. So I now have 10x now what I put in originally, but I've already taken out 2.5 times it. And that 1 year when I did that, I paid my taxes on it. You have to pay taxes on these things. All investments, you have to pay your taxes on. So yes, is Bitcoin volatile? Yes. High risk? Yes, because it could drop and tank. Let's see, a third. It was around a third of what it was before, maybe even a fourth. So if you're not looking at the graph, you'll actually see that it dropped dramatically in this graph, but then it climbed. And you know it will be climbing again. How do you know this? Because huge banks have gone into this. Huge investment companies have gone into this. They've done a Bitcoin ETF, which means you have BlackRock, which is the largest equity holder of companies all around the world, including Disney, which was one of the companies that said, no, you're not changing your policy. You're going forward. And because of that, Disney tanked again. So they're not always the best person to understand. But with all these banks in here, they don't want to lose everything. If all of a sudden the market started dropping dramatically, yeah, they'd be hurting because all of their investors would be losing money hand over fist, and it would not look good for them. So because there's government and banks behind it, the government approved the ETF. So there's government and huge corporations and banks behind it. It's not going down. It will probably have fluctuations, could have fluctuations like this, but it will never go away. So now that I've already spent enough time on crypto, we are out of time. So let's go through a few more of these. NFTs. Okay. These are funny. So most of these have no value whatsoever. Like this is an NFT and this is an NFT and this is an NFT and this, these are called the Yacht Club apes. And so these are all different NFTs, which are basically non-fungible tokens. They are objects, digital objects that you can sell different variations of. And they're very unique. Now you can buy one object that has like 10 different versions of it, or even 10 different people can buy the same object. They just have one of 10. So the rarity is still high, which increases the price. The price of these went up huge. It was dramatic, the amount of increase that it went. But they also tanked, and they are down now over the high. So what are now NFTs? Well, people are actually programming them to be music concerts. You can go to a music concert if you own this NFT. You can go to this meeting if you have this NFT. You can have this experience if you have this NFT. So there are actual reasons to having them, depending on what they are. Pictures, illustrated, they're not doing very well right now. But an invitation to a certain program, that's what you are paying for if you're going to get into NFTs. Okay, we're going to go over these other ones fast because they're no-brainers. You can buy gold, silver, platinum, any kind of precious metals, or even gems. The government has actually recalled them and made it illegal to own gold a long time ago. And that was so they could reset the price. And then all of a sudden they let people buy gold again. Why? Because the other governments were letting people buy gold, and other governments were buying gold, and so they couldn't be the only one outlawing it. So people were able to buy it again. And so yes, there are underhanded things when it comes to some commodities or even stocks where nothing's a guarantee because they could pull it right out from under you. What else? Agriculture. You can buy crops. You can buy food. Yeah, I can buy wheat. Basically, I'm buying a, paying a farmer to farm this because I know I'm going to get a certain return on investments. Low risk, low return. This is just like a bond. Okay. Sorry, that's not supposed to come up. Okay. So what else? We have energy you can buy. Okay. Energy. Whoops. Wrong way. Okay. And you can also buy, much like crops, you can buy livestock. You know, this is usually in a mutual fund or a, sorry, an ETF where they buy these large amounts of livestock and sell them. You don't actually have to own them. Unless you want to buy, I'd say buy a cow. You might want to take a quarter of the cow for your own food because it's expensive these days. Meat is. Thanks, inflation. And thanks for this administration. What else? How about oil? You want energy? You can buy something like crude oil, but you can also buy into stocks of energy companies that do clean energy. You can't really buy this commodity. You can't buy wind generated energy. It doesn't work that way. It's the only thing is it gives you the after price, but you can invest in the stocks of companies that do this, or even a private company that you can buy into if you can find one. What else is there? Real estate. We're going to be talking about this a lot in the next few months. Real estate is great, especially homes, because they're so inexpensive compared to commercial properties. Now, it does not have to be high rises. It could be strip malls or even an office, small office. These are all commercial real estate, and there's a little risk because you have to keep people in there, but there's a high return on investments. Real estate, commercial, or sorry, residential, commercial, another one, industrial, warehouses and such. These are all real estate. And one more, land. All of these have a low risk because you still own the property, though your value might actually go down. If there's a recession, it'll go down for a bit, but land and real estate always have a value to them. So they'll never go to zero. Someone always needs a commercial property. They always need an industrial. As you saw a few weeks ago, there is an issue with some commercial properties. Right now, offices are doing horribly if they're like large sky rises, high rises, sorry, or if they're large offices because people are working more remote. These are things that happen. What happened during COVID? Hotels and destinations, they did horribly because everyone's locked down. So no one is for sure understanding exactly what investment is great, is a guaranteed buy because everything has risk. Even the federal government can default. As you can see, they have so much money on their clocks right now, on the clock. They have to pay that every month. At some point, they could actually default on their being able to pay their mortgage, pay their loans. One last one is art. It's usually for a very wealthy people, but you can actually buy a portion of the art. There are art EFTs. You want a Picasso, a Monet. You don't have the money to buy these, but there are ETFs that do, and you can buy parts of it, or you can buy a individual investment in this. And it has a medium return on investment, but it's low risk because the art's always there. During certain things in time, they don't need art. Art is not a commodity that's needed, unlike food or agriculture or such, or real estate. So it does have the chance of dropping as well, where someone doesn't want to buy it. So there's all these different things. But investment is basically anything that we give value to. So anything that we give value to, really fast, I'm going to show you one last chart or one last thing, website. So this is for 2024 best investments. This comes from Bankrate. And I don't totally agree because I'm willing to do a little bit more risk. They're saying the first one, going down, is high yield savings accounts. But this only gives you about a 5% return. CDs, long-term CDs, this will give about a 6 to 7% return right now. Long-term corporate bonds, that might give you a 7% return. Dividend stock, so these are all like safe investments. And they're right, these are safe investments. value stocks, low cap stocks. These are all different types of stocks. REITs. Okay, we can go into that. It's basically real estate where you're buying a set of properties. This is somebody else that manages your real estate. S&P 500, that is the stock market, and that's the top 500 companies. NASDAQ 100, these are the top 100 companies in the NASDAQ. And rental houses. So my number one, if you can actually afford it, would be rental houses, but it's a lot more expensive to get into those. Rental properties are great. Usually, rent does not go down. It does sometimes. If you have a pandemic, they were actually forcing the landlords not to claim their monthly rentals, rent from their renters, their tenants. So yeah, that was a hard time for all people renting out their houses. Will that happen again? I'm highly doubting that a lockdown will happen again, because I think the US will revolt at that point. So there are different investments you can invest in, but this again is where we will be going to make you debt-free or a millionaire or a debt-free millionaire. And if you haven't become a debt-free millionaire zealot, which means you're trying, you're striving, you want to become debt-free or even a millionaire or both, we're going to make you one, because we have the answers for you if you follow our plan. Now, again, not guaranteed, because nothing's guaranteed, but I'm giving you the best chance possible. We're going to give you the success mentality. We're going to give you everything you need to get to that point. So thank you so much for joining me on this new broadcast today, and we will catch you next time. That'll be next week for week 7. Thanks again. Talk to you soon. Bye.